Okay, good evening, Gordon. I have you with me?
I am here.
Awesome. Well, guys, I want to thank everybody who's joining us tonight. This is our regularly scheduled Monday night team perseverance call, but we are actually very, very blessed for the next 4 weeks to be hosting none other than Gordon Hester for a momentum building series of calls based around quite a few different subjects, but obviously most of you know who Gordon is. He is Jeff Roberti's financial advisor. He is also a financial advisor to many top companies around the world. This is his job to go in and basically help companies produce results around systems and what's working and what's not. And we've been really blessed to have Gordon kind of in the background helping this complete transformation movement that's been happening in the U.S. and also be a part of what's going on in Europe's success to bring sort of both of these together to give us direction and guidance on it. So he's going to be sharing with us over these next 4 weeks on Monday nights leading up to conference his wisdom and his powerful knowledge. So I just want to thank you, Gordon. I know right now is really tough for you just getting back from Europe and literally squeezing this in before leaving for Europe again tomorrow. We really appreciate you doing this for us, and we can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Well, Kim, thank you for the kind words, and it's always a pleasure to be on with you and the team, and I look forward to being on the call the next 4 weeks and getting to sort of build up for conference. And I'm going to apologize in advance. I've been fighting a little cold, so if I cough a little bit during this call, I apologize. I know it's being recorded. I'll certainly do my best not to do that, but unfortunately there are some things we can't control in life. So as Kim mentioned, you know, I have a sort of a business and finance background. Primarily these days my life is spent in the business world, not so much in the finance world. And basically, I've had two roles with NSA, one for 25 years running the business affairs and financial affairs for Jeff Roberti. Any of you that are in the business certainly know Jeff's story. He's sort of an icon in the direct selling industry, been NSA's number one income earner since literally started the business 27, 28 years ago. I don't even know how long it's been now. And, you know, he just came off his third record year. The last 3 years have been his best 3 years in the business. So business is great, and of course my other role is I work as a business consultant for the company, not only domestically but working with their global teams doing all kinds of fun things like working on analytical analysis and building analytical models and certainly talking about problems and solutions and planning and all kinds of great things. So tonight I wanted to share with you sort of the big picture. To kind of let you know what's going on, why it's going on, where the focus is, why the focus is there, and then to also talk a little bit about what I'd like to do over the next 3 weeks so that not only can you build momentum for the conference, but you can come out of that conference sort of ahead of the crowd. Because I will tell you, in Phoenix, I think you're going to see some really new things, some things that are really interesting, things that I think people have never seen before. You know, we've got some really interesting people coming in from around the world to share their stories and some of the things they're doing. And that's probably where I'd like to start. So, you know, I've been traveling. I just came back from Birmingham about a week ago. For the first time in 20 years, we've actually divided the conferences up in Europe. So instead of doing a spring and a fall conference like we have always done, they did three spring conferences, and there was one each weekend. So the first one was Birmingham, then was Milan, and then was Stuttgart, which is coming up this following weekend, so one I'm leaving for tomorrow. And here's what's been really great. Birmingham was the UK kids, the UK movement, sold out, leadership event sold out weeks in advance. Got to tell you, the excitement at that conference, I don't have the words to express it. If you were there, you would have seen it and felt it. Something very unique, very different. When I share a little bit about what's going on there, you'll probably understand why. I didn't get a chance to go to Milan, but I will tell you that I got a private email the other day from Dan Holtzman, who is the CEO from Europe, who told me Stuttgart is already sold out. And interestingly enough, somebody reached out to me just the other day looking for rooms in Phoenix, and they're having great difficulty finding rooms. So What I will tell you is at our big conferences right now, we're having sellouts and excitement like we haven't seen in the entire 20-plus years that we've been doing Juice Plus. And there's a reason for that. There's just some really excitement, really exciting things going on. And if I had to kind of start at the top, like what is that excitement and what is the main focus? What we've seen is the beginning of a movement. And I always tell people there's a huge difference between a business and a movement. And I work all the time with businesses, and I know what a business looks like, and we've all been part of that. But a movement is something different. You know, when you become part of a movement, you start to see things that you never imagined possible, results being produced that you couldn't fathom or possible. It becomes this great learning curve. You know, if I kind of step back in time, so this is the second movement I've ever seen in my 25 years with the Juice Plus company. And the first one was with Jeff. You know, when Jeff came in, you know, the company was doing $1 million a month in sales, and 3 years later they were doing $1 million a day in sales. And they had this huge movement, this huge wave of growth and excitement, and this huge development of a leadership base. And I go back and I look at that leadership base, and I look at people like the Beavers family and the Burdicks and Jeff and Cheryl Cortese. All these people came from that movement. And the one thing they have in common is not only have they become hugely successful, they've become multimillionaires because they were around at the right time and they were smart enough to realize to stay with a great company and a great culture, and they benefited from it. And I would imagine if you talk to any of them right now, they would tell you the same thing I told you about Jeff's business, that business is good. So, you know, business was good for us, and then all of a sudden last year, something started happening out of the UK, and we started seeing something that, you know, at first you're not sure what you're looking at. You're seeing results that you don't really understand, and kind of the first instinct is just to kind of push it aside. We call them statistics. This is like an outlier. You know, we're just not going to pay much attention to this because this isn't something that's duplicatable. And, of course, as a culture and being the business that we are, we want to do simple and duplicatable systems. But we studied it. You know, after a while, it kept repeating itself, and the company got involved. I got involved in the process, in particular working with Sean Hopkins, who is very heavily involved in the analytical part of this company. And we started studying what was going on. And at the time, it was going on with this girl by the name of Katie Ravy. And Katie was a young 26-year-old girl, worked for her parents as a bookkeeper. If you were to listen to her story, her biggest challenge in work was staying awake all day. You know, bored to death, not the person anybody would bet on in life to have a good job. And all of a sudden, she started having this crazy success. You know, we saw her go to like 50 club, and then the next month she was at 78 qualifiers. And, you know, she went from 78 to 228 qualifiers from May through August of last year. And her team put on over 13,000 new customers during that time. And I will have to tell you, this was the time when we went from looking at this as an outlier as to really investing a lot of time and energy to understand what can we learn from this. And this is, you know, such a great lesson for anybody on the line. Anytime you see success, you have two choices, or a couple choices really. One, you can criticize it. The second is you can dismiss it. And the third is you can learn from it. And we wanted to learn from it. You know, we don't know that everything that works over there is going to work over here or any other market. But we knew there were things to kind of watch and learn, things that we could teach and share in other markets. And I will tell you, after studying Katie, the movement kind of grew. It took a life of its own. You know, we then saw leaders popping up and leaders getting faster results than her. I remember Katie made 100 club in, I think it was 14 months, and then all of a sudden a girl by the name of Emma Sneddon comes in, and she makes 100 club in 10 months. And then she has a guy on her team named James Lavelle, who I saw in Birmingham speak, who makes 100 club, and I can't remember if it's 7 or 8 months, but really doesn't matter. It gets you, I think you get the idea of how quickly they're growing. And during this time period, you know, if I just take like the last 14 months, you know, I saw them go from a small market that had, you know, 150, maybe 100, 150 distributors, new distributors coming in a month, to something that had over 2,000 new distributors coming in a month. And you know, we saw their retailing numbers, their new acquisition of customers go from in the hundreds to literally in the tens of thousands. So this is sort of what this movement looks like. Matter of fact, I think one of the things, I wish I would have kept the numbers and saved them when Dan shared them in Birmingham, but they talked about the NMDs and what's happened with the leadership. And they had talked about if you took, you know, 5 years past starting in 2012, so 2008 from 2012, in 2013, they did almost four times the amount of NMDs in 2013 than they did in all of the previous 5 years combined. And then the craziest part of that, so you think, wow, what an unbelievable year. In 2 months into 2014, they've already surpassed that number. So we're seeing something spectacular, and we want to learn from it. And now what we're seeing is that this learning, so this movement has begun to spread. You know, we have seen Ireland and Spain as a good example. These were markets that weren't really, you know, doing a whole lot, and now they're having triple-digit annual growth. And we're seeing the components of this now that we understand them. We're seeing them applied to other markets. You know, as I go back and look at the complete transformation, this all started when, you know, I had the opportunity to come out and spend some time with the leadership in Sacramento at a regional they had, I believe it was last August, and we started talking about, well, what are these, some of these things we're learning and some of these lessons that we can apply. And, you know, give credit to Kim and to Deanna and to all the others of all, certainly Karen Jones, for her part on how she helped with the company, kind of locking arms and doing what great leaderships do. You know, they take new information and they integrate it, and they build new systems and new programs and new strategies, just what you expect leaders to do. And because of this, we're seeing a new level of excitement. You know, we're seeing a different type of result. And I will tell you, it hasn't even really started here yet. You know, I think after Phoenix, you're going to see some really interesting things happen. You're going to see this movement of complete transformation and some other things kind of come together, and it start to kind of become more simple and a little more duplicatable, and more people are going to be involved. So I think when I look at the U.S. market and the market you're in, you're sort of at the beginnings of this movement. So you're not even at the Katy period. I think the Katys that I'm going to be talking about in the U.S. are going to be people that show up this year. So I think in my 25 years of being with the company, what I will tell you about the U.S. market is that I don't think there was ever a better time to be involved with this business than to be involved right now. Now, of course, understanding that, we also got to understand that, you know, we're transitioning, we're transforming as a culture, and we're trying to move from being a business to a movement, and there's a lot of work involved with that. It's certainly a process, and, you know, we're trying to figure out what works because we want to continue to do it and even do it better. We're really focused on, you know, what's not working, you know, what can we do better, and how do we teach those lessons so that the leadership can apply them. But make no mistake, although this culture's in change, there are some things that it's not going to change. You know, we're not going to change our business model. Our business model for 20 years has been what set us apart from every direct selling company in the world. And that was a business model where we actually had customers. What a unique concept. Said it couldn't be done. The way direct selling companies work, if you study who's buying their products, it's distributors that are being compensated. Why do they do it that way? Because they can't sell them to end consumers. They're too expensive. They can't compete in the marketplace. When Juice Plus got built, we wanted to build a different model. We wanted to build something where the largest percentage of our sales were these end consumers, were people that said, you know what, we understand the merit and value of this product, and we're going to stay on it because of the merit and the value of it, not because we're being compensated as distributors. And, you know, of course, we've seen this grow for 20 years with Juice Plus. It's been the way. It's been what's defined us, one of the things that's defined us from our business model. And, you know, as I said, we're not going to abandon this. Even with the Tower Garden, you know, I remember Paulo telling us that, I think it was the fall conference last year, you know, the first year we expected to see a lot of distributor buying because it was a new product and people were really excited about it. And then you kind of look at it now, and, you know, it's just like the Juice Plus model. The largest percentage of people that are buying it are the, you know, the people that are end consumers. So, again, we've got another hit product, And I'll talk a little bit about why that's the case here in the next part of my talk. But I think it's important for you to all understand at kind of the series of this and is that it is a unique time, and there are some things that are going on. And the next couple of years of this are really going to be fun. They're going to be transformative. You're going to hear things you've never seen before. And I'm saying that after a 20-year celebration we had, where we have a lot to be proud of, you know, over $8 billion in sales, 31 studies, which, by the way, is something else that set us apart from anybody else in the world. So it's an exciting time, and we want to take advantage of moving this great business to being more of a movement, to kind of spearheading this company, becoming one of the giants in the direct selling industry. And I will tell you, the management team truly believes that we have a lot of untapped potential in this company, that we look at everything great we've done, and then we begin to look at what's possible, and we understand that the journey has just begun, that we really have a lot of work to do, and that things are really moving in an exciting direction right now. So if we look at that exciting direction and we look at it, so I'm going to kind of now share from you from a consulting perspective what I see and what I hear, and maybe give you an idea of why we're so excited and why there is all this belief in untapped potential. And I think in a lot of respects, why we're starting to see a movement in the UK that's now spreading to other markets. So, you know, first on the list is years ago when the company got into the Juice Plus business, we had to, you know, the company had to make a decision. You know, where do you get positioned? We had just come out of the environmental products with air and water filtration, had all kinds of options and directions to go. And, you know, the management team had the wisdom to understand that there was going to be a healthcare problem, not a U.S. healthcare problem, a global healthcare problem. And, of course, didn't know the extent of what it would be. Certainly, you never really know the timelines and the nature of the problems. But what I can tell you is they got it absolutely right, because healthcare is identified as one of the key problems that exist all over the world today. And they recognized that early, and we're still in that business. But we're not in the business of healthcare. We're in the business of something that everybody agreed about when we looked into the healthcare system many, many years ago, and certainly is a common message today, that the best way to deal with the healthcare problem is to stay out of the healthcare system. You know, this is the prevention market, and the prevention industry in all its form and fashion is something that it's exploding all over the world. It's something that continues to grow. You know, we believe that was the place to get positioned, and the company was really smart about that. And when they looked at things and said, well, where do we get positioned? They decided to go where there was a sort of almost a paradigm shift going on, where you saw more and more markets constantly increasing the amount of supplements they took. So supplementation, you know, at the time through vitamins was and still is such a massive market and sort of something that's just the norm. Like the mass majority of people take these things. So we wanted to get positioned in supplementation, but this is where the company really made a home run in their decision with regard to Juice Plus. I'll never forget the conversation when I was talking with Jay about this early on, and he made a point of saying, you know what, as a company, we don't want to be another Me Too company. We don't want to be out there marketing the same thing everybody else is marketing. We want to do something unique. And it was at that time where Juice Plus showed up, you know, where Dr. Santillo showed up with a business plan called Juice on the Run. And with that business plan, we saw something that had never been done before, but was really exciting from a conceptual standpoint. The idea of putting food in a capsule, and not only food, but fruits and vegetables. And even back then, fruits and vegetables was something that everybody agreed you needed to eat more of. This was sort of the foundations of good health, along with drinking water and exercise and those types of things. What's changed over the years? Well, certainly the message keeps growing. The visibility of that keeps growing. No matter who you talk to, the amount of servings you're supposed to take keeps going up. The availability of fruits and vegetables continues to grow, but the consumption doesn't. So what Juice Plus became and still is today is that gap. It's that bridge between eating fruits and vegetables and the next best alternative. And when we look at that as a company, we understand that 20 years ago, listen, they got it right. They got positioned in the right place with the right product. But I will tell you, 20 years later, I believe the market is stronger now. Keep in mind, back then, whole food nutrition didn't even exist as a category. You know, that kind of got created because of the stuff we did. And we look at this now, and more people are trying to eat fruits and vegetables. You can't find anything about good health that isn't on fruits and vegetables. So it's a really unique time. When we look at the actual numbers, so when I look at it from an economist standpoint, I will tell you this. I think we're in 24 countries now, and we do not have one country where we have 1% penetration. So we haven't even scratched the surface in any of the countries we're in. But the last time I counted the amount of direct selling countries that were open in the world, actually I went to the DSA site and counted them, there were 237. So if you look at 24 and 237, what it tells you is that 90% of the world doesn't even know we exist, doesn't even know we're out there as an alternative. And we saw kind of how exciting this can be last year with the opening of Israel, you know, the most successful country opening we ever had, over 500 people at the opening. I think there were 7 NMDs produced the first year in Israel. And we see great potential not only in the existing markets, but really in a world that doesn't know that we exist with a product that everybody needs and very few people have. And if you happen to listen to my product I did probably 3 or 4 years ago now called Capitalizing on the Wellness Movement, that talked about some of this stuff, and I talked about the S-curve and, you know, the importance of the innovation stage and building more and more saturation, and that if you can get that thing up to 10%, then you hit this magic thing called the growth phase. And it sort of looks like, you know, a rocket ship to the moon. You know, kind of the classic example I shared in that is the mobile phones. You guys remember, you know, they started as bag phones and nobody had them. And then all of a sudden everybody seemed to have them. And that movement from 10 to 90% occurred over 14 years. That's how quick it was. And can you imagine, had you been in that industry when it was at the lower percentage? And here's the challenge we have right now when we look at the business from the context of this business model. The challenge is this. The demand for our product, so when you look at population growth and you look at the amount of people that need Juice Plus and you look at how fast we're fulfilling that demand, we're actually going backwards. Society is growing faster than we're fulfilling the demand for our product. So how can you not be excited when that's what your business model is? When we step into the business model itself, you know, our end consumer model that makes us unique, there's something else about it that makes us unique. You know, one more thing I want to touch on the healthcare, and my gosh, I can't believe I left this one out. There's one other thing that happened in the last 20 years that really defines the uniqueness of our business opportunity from the product standpoint, and that is the studies. See, we produced and invested into the process of putting our product to test in the academic and science community. And with the toughest tests you could do at the toughest academic universities we could find. And the research speaks for itself. Well, here's the problem. I don't believe Juice Plus has any competition in the marketplace. Are there other fruits and vegetable capsules? Yes. If you were actually to talk to most of them, they would probably try to sell you on their product comparing it to Juice Plus, because Juice Plus is the brand. But there is not another single fruits and vegetable capsule in the world that has the science behind it that we have. And that's really important. We call that an entrance barrier in business, and that's really going to make a difference in the years from a competitor even showing up to kind of eat into some of this market potential that we have. The business model itself, why does it work? It doesn't take money, a lot of money to invest. You know, it ranges from $50 to $100 depending on the market you're in. And you get a lot for that. I mean, if you sit down with the distributor that got you on the call, or you just look at what the company does, this is a really great value investment. You know, you got all this research, this product, this history, you know, all this leadership field and corporate. They ship the product, they manufacture it. if you haven't seen Gary Giles do the Farm to Capsule to see really what the company is all about in terms of protecting the quality of this and having redundancy with vendors, you know, it's just really amazing that we sit here and get all this for such a low, inexpensive cost. And not only is it low and inexpensive, but we don't have to invest in things that traditional business does because this is a home-based business. And home-based business is the fastest-growing segment of the small business community. One of the things that's unique about our business, because it's low investment and because we have systems in place, so, you know, we don't have to sign somebody up and have them figure out how to do anything. We've got 20 years worth of proven solutions and options and ways to do things. And because of this, it's not uncommon for people to start in this business and to make an immediate profit in this business. And that's really rare. And it was really something that people began to understand the importance of during the bad times. And in my opinion, they're still here. But, you know, when the recession started 2008, around that time, you know, time became the enemy. You know, you couldn't get into a business where you would tell somebody in 3 to 5 years you can make a profit. People didn't have 3 to 5 months. They needed to make it immediately, and our business model does that. You know, we certainly allow time flexibility. You know, we're seeing people that work this business a couple hours a week to people that work this business from the time they get up to the time they go to bed 7 days a week. And our business model allows that flexibility, and of course, what's really exciting about the business model? It's global. You know, this is something, I look at Jeff's business as a good example. You know, Jeff's business, he's paid in every market that we're in. In fact, he's the number one distributor in about every market we're in. And right now, even though he started in the U.S. and he built his business initially in the U.S., almost 60% of his income now is from international markets. And I share this with you because building an international business is as simple as sponsoring somebody in an international market or sponsoring somebody that knows somebody in an international market and plugging them into the systems that exist. You know, we already have the meetings. We already have the models. We already have the leadership. So it's not uncommon. You know, I was looking at a couple of the Australian girls the other day that haven't been in the business a long time, and these girls were ranging already from like 10 to 13 countries that their business had expanded into. So, you know, that's an exciting thing about our business model right now. But there's something else here, a couple other things I want to share with you about these key business drivers. One is we are finally, and I say this with great excitement, we are finally having the Gen Y millennial group become part of our business culture. And they're really kind of what we called the UK movement. You know, originally it was the Gen Y movement because there were so many of the people that fit in that demographics. That demographics is 80 to 95. So if you were born in 1980 to 1995, you're part of the millennials. And people are, you know, I don't think they understand the importance of how big this is and what this means and what this demographic category is going to do for our business. But let me just give you a little bit of data so you understand. Right now, the millennials are the largest generation alive in the population today. So if you look at the 7 billion people in the world, 1.8 billion of them are millennials. They are Gen Ys. And that's about 25% of the entire population is in this demographic group. So an important part all over the world. Next year, so 2015 will be the first year that they become the largest part of the workforce. So this is going to be the people that are going to be coming in. They're going to be the largest part, and they're going to be looking for places. They're going to be looking for homes with literally decades and decades of productivity and building in front of them. I saw a study the other day. It was the Edelman Report from 2012 that noted that by 2025, 75% of our workforce is going to be this demographic category. So this is a demographic category we need to pay great attention to. And when you look at, you know, sort of the profile of them, you start to understand why they're such a great fit for us and why we're seeing so many of them come into this. You know, they look at this, and even though they're the first generation in the history of time that actually grew up in a digital generation. You know, this is kids that only know internet and smartphones. They live their life on these things. They've never had that before. And you look at, like, their activity and how they live their lives. You know, the average kid, I call them kids, the average millennial doing 111 texts a day. You know, doing 14.7 billion impressions. In other words, pieces of communication a week. But understand this, and this is so important. Even though the millennials are sort of the technology generation, what they have found is out of that 14.7 billion impressions, 13.5 are still offline. So although their life is so involved with technology, what drives their life, what drives their business, what drives their kind of time management is actually one-on-one, personal face-to-face contacts. You know, if you look at it statistically, 92% of everything they do is offline, even though they live their life online. And this is what we've seen in the UK, that so many of these kids have went in, and although they're tremendous with social media, and I'll share more about that on another call, what's really exciting isn't what they do with social media, it's that ultimately they are what we have always been and what is the foundation of the direct selling industry, a person-to-person business. This whole industry was founded on the concept that a product and a service needs a storyteller. It needs somebody to tell it, to market it properly. You know, the last data I saw out of the Direct Selling Association, which was probably a month ago, was that still 80% of our industry is still being done face-to-face. So make no mistake, even though technology is becoming a bigger part, we are never going to be an industry and we're never going to be a business where we're not talking with people face-to-face, where there aren't meetings and there aren't events. Now, a couple other things I want to share with you about this millennium. One of the things that was done in this Edelman study was they went to say, out of all the things that matter to them in the marketplace, to this group, what are they willing to pay a premium for? And they went down the whole spectrum from beauty to apparel to cars to food to travel to electronics and to health. And what they found was health was the number one thing they were willing to pay a premium for in the marketplace. So not only do we have this massive group of people, but this massive group of people is out there saying health matters to us more than anything. And then the final kind of piece of data I will share with you so you understand our excitement about this and why we believe this is our next generation of leadership is that the Edelman Report noted something really important, and that is about their entrepreneurial kind of excitement, their entrepreneurial profile. And what they noted is the millennials, if you ask them what is their top goal in life, wasn't family, it wasn't fitness, their top goal in life was owning their own business. So 48% of these people, biggest part of the workforce next year, want to own their own business. So this is going to be a massive driver for us. And you're going to see that things are going to change and you're going to see these people get on your team and you're going to see results and amazing things happen because they're brilliant people that have a lot to bring to the marketplace. They're at a time where they can work and travel and do great things. And they're finally not only a part of our business, they've always been a part of our business, but they're actually the part that started this movement. So we're excited about the Gen Y movement. Now, of course, you can't discount the other side. You know, and the U.S. is a perfect example. What are we seeing with the baby boomers? You know, what we're seeing is something that is truly a paradigm shift. If I would have talked to you 10 years ago and we were talking about people that were baby boomers, what I would have been talking to you about is the concept of 65 and retire, living off a pension, living off of Social Security, and we know that this has all fallen apart. And what we're seeing, and certainly the direct selling industry is a big example of this, is that we're finding a lot of the baby boomers are coming into our business. A lot of them, our business model really fits. Certainly their focus on health, you know, vitality is a critical part of what drives them in life and what creates their happiness, were their relationship rich. So we saw for the last 2 years in the direct selling industry, this was a part of the demographics that never moved, that all of a sudden is moving 20 to 30% a year. And then, of course, the last thing that I would point out that's a business driver for us is something that you know, is a little off the path with Juice Plus, and that's the Tower Garden. You know, when we went into the Tower Garden, it was certainly a different direction. It's not a consumable product. It's a little bit different than what we had been doing for 20 years, but it made a lot of sense. It was a good fit to our mission of inspiring healthy living, and Jay and the team had the vision to understand that, you know, growing food as we know it has no choice but to change. You only have one direction to go, and that's up. And there's lots of things behind the Tower Garden movement, but I will tell you that I believe the Tower Garden, as Jay says, will be our next billion-dollar product. And not only is it going to be good for Tower Garden business, but we're finding that a lot of Tower Garden customers become very interested in being part of our Juice Plus business. These things kind of go hand in hand. So it's these things that are sort of driving the what I would call the business drivers, why the excitement's there and the potential we see. So on that, let me kind of finish up the call. I'm already way over where I needed to be with time, and I apologize for that. But let me tell you about what I want to do with these calls. Tonight I wanted to give you an overview. You know, I wanted you to kind of sit at the board table with me and as a consultant and have a conversation with you about what was going on. And hopefully you understand it and you see why we're excited, and I hope you're as excited as we are. This was the call. You know, I wanted to focus on the culture. You know, we have a very unique culture, and I always tell people we are not the fit for everybody. If you're looking for a get-rich-quick scheme, this is the wrong place to be. But if you're looking for a home, something that's going to be around for decades and decades and generations through generations, this is a great culture to be aligned with. You know, I wanted to explain to you these key business drivers, and I also wanted to explain to you kind of what I thought I'd do with this series, because in all honesty, I've never done 4 calls in a row with a team in the 25 years I've been doing this. And, you know, I jumped at the opportunity because I know this is a time of change, and the group of people that are on this phone are a big part of what's driving change right now. You know, this complete transformation is something very different and something they fought for, and I believe something that's going to make a difference in this culture. But the next calls are going to be about the lessons. So what I told you at the beginning of the call was we spent the last year studying this and trying to break it down into simple processes and simple lessons, things where we could get better, things that we could teach the leadership so that they could take this and create new systems and new thinking and new strategies. And that's what I'm going to do the next call. Right now, we've identified basically 6 basic lessons. I want to take 2 of them a call and not only share them with you, but expand on them with you and explain to you not just what's going on, but how you can make it happen for you. Because at the end of the day, the value of this information will only benefit you if you do something with it. What we do as consultants and what the company does is we do the analysis, we do the learning, and we share it with you, so that you can build the magic, that you can build all these systems, you know, that the leadership takes over. And that's what I want to share with you, these calls. You know, I believe that the company is evolving in its understanding of what the leadership's roles are and what the company's roles. You know, I think for a long time, one of the things that we have kind of stifled a bit is innovation. I will tell you, those days are over. Right now, we understand that the right thing to do is to teach you the lessons we're learning, to share them with you, and get out of the way and let you innovate, let you figure out the way. And we don't want to take a strategy and have it become the way. We want to continue to invite new strategies and teach and have this thing continue to grow and become more and more, and always ask that question, what's a better way? You know, kind of a good example, I remember a girl got on stage in Birmingham, and she talked about building an NMD distributorship in 9 months, and she did it all through Twitter. And I'd never heard anybody that did that, and you know, I look forward to getting an opportunity to chat with her to see what strategies she used. But this is something that's so important to understand. We never want to take a girl like that and have her strategy become the way for everybody. Because when we do this, we kill all innovation, and we kill all that creativity. So much of what's going on in the UK, and actually over here too, are people that are innovating and looking for better ways, people that want to get better results in the marketplace. And what I hope to do on the next series of calls is teach you those lessons so that you guys can get better results. I want to end on this. couldn't be anything more important than putting on your calendar to be at the Phoenix Convention. If you haven't got your reservation, I would tell you do it quick. As I mentioned at the beginning of the call, I've already been told it's hard to get rooms. I don't know how true that is because I didn't go out and look for them. But I understand the company didn't have any. We usually have a block. We didn't have a block. We had kind of given them away because there was so much demand. But the conventions are a must. I can't think of one person that Jeff has brought into this business in the last 10 years that has become a huge leader, whether that's a Chris Strobes or a Lauren Slocum or a Jerry McKinney. And, you know, I could kind of go down the list of other people, these people that have become, you know, big 39 and 100 club leaders. You know, what's unique about them? What stands out as a common ground? Every one of them got involved in this business after they came to a convention. And Jeff has always understood the power of the convention. As he would tell you, this is the Super Bowl. This is the best recruiting tool you have. We invest heavily in the conferences. We get as many people as we can. We support all the contests because we know that the events drive the business, and that Phoenix conference is that Super Bowl. It's that event that you have to be at. So on that note, Kim, thank you for having me on the call. I certainly look forward to next week's call when I got back from Stuttgart. Maybe I'll have some new information to share. And thank you, everybody, for taking your Monday night and getting on the call with me. And I look forward to spending the next three Monday nights with you and seeing you in Phoenix. So thank you.
Absolutely. Gordon, I can't thank you enough because I feel like we have ESP or something with each other, because every time you were leading into a subject, I was like, oh, gosh, I hope he talks about the S-curve and the cell phone, because that really sticks in people's brains. That is a movement, like you said, that occurred 20 years ago that we all know is – absolutely. It's a household item. I don't even think people have landlines at homes anymore. It's that far advanced. So, and then you got right into the millennium and those generations, which is fabulous because we do have some great ones on our team right now, and I know they're on the call tonight listening. And it just you just kind of went down every path that I was like, oh, I hope he talks about it, and you sure did. And thank you for kind of describing what the next couple of calls are going to be, because my phone was blowing up, you know, are we going to get the how-tos, and that's going to be perfect, because that you just kind of laid the groundwork here for us. And I know it's St. Paddy's Day, so a lot of people are going to be listening to the rebroadcast, but again, thank you for taking the time, even in your little bit of a cold. I'm glad you didn't cough, nothing. You sounded very healthy. You did good.
Thank you. I take an extra juice plus. That always helps.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, well, let me just stop the recording and let everybody shout out a thank you to you. Okay, hold on just a moment.
Thank you.